You're listening to the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast, where we bring our authentic selves, refuse to raise grown folks, and share wisdom you can use. With your host, Charles K. Poole.
Good day, good people, and welcome to Pool Proof Wisdom, the podcast, and also the conversations that we have with people about interesting topics involving faith, personal development, and individual growth. I'm Charles K. Poole. Now, this is a very important day because it's the first time I've taken the foray to take this podcast from just audio to video, and today's guest certainly warrants that. I want to tell you a little bit about her if you'll indulge me. Carol Daniel is a lot of things, an award-winning journalist, broadcaster, author, community leader, motivational speaker, ministry co-leader, and the recipient of too many awards to name. For the 28 of her total 40-year broadcast career, she's earned her spot among the pantheon of legendary broadcasters at KMOX Radio, telling St. Louis stories and bringing a very insightful and sometimes personal perspective to reporting on topics and issues that have meaning and matter. And now, after announcing her plans to retire May 25th, she plans to add new chapters to the story she's been writing as wife and mother, exploring what it means to have done so much already, but be ready to discover what more there can be with her family and while pursuing various interests without days defined by an alarm clock and deadlines. As she explained when announcing her retirement, it wasn't an easy decision to reach, but it was one she thought about, prayed about, and concluded was right at this time. Clearly, Carol understands knowing the difference between what may be perceived as an appointed time for things to occur in life and God's anointed time. But she's not just been guided by that in her life, she's been guided by it in her work. And in our conversation today, we're going to be talking about all of those things. Not only how she reached the level of determining that a retirement was the best thing for her to do, but how she's, throughout her career, been able to balance all of the expectations, challenges, and needs of reporting in a world that is in a state of constant change, with things that break the heart and lighten the load of expectation with a laugh and some other form of frivolity. So please join me today as we welcome Carol Daniel, one of the best who's ever done it. Looking forward to this conversation. Carol, thanks so much for joining me at Pool Proof Wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
You know, this is a big deal because I've never done video before with my broadcast. They were always audio. But if I'm going to have Carol Daniel spend some of her time with me after she's announced her retirement, doggone it, we're going to do video.
Well, that meant extra makeup is what it meant.
And it meant I was here earlier telling them I don't want to be shot from anywhere but here.
Tell them the truth. I asked that question. That was the question I asked you.
Yeah.
Full body, right. What are you going to see?
We're cut from the same cloth. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, I have been doing this podcast for several years now. It really sprung out of the idea that there are people whose stories really resonate with me. And it resonates with everybody else as well. Mm-hmm. And you've been with KMOX for 28 years, and you've had a lengthy broadcasting career. But outside of that, it's your humanity that strikes me. When I tell you that, you know, my mom and her mom before her listened to KMOX, and I grew up listening to it. In fact, even though I've moved away several times, I always listened to it by satellite.
Okay.
And so I have stayed in contact with that station all of my life for the most part. And when you arrived there, it was unlike anything else that I'd ever experienced. Because let's face it, you and I have some similarities.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Two, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one of them is that connection. And I think that we're roughly the same age.
We are. Yeah. I'm 61. Yeah. You're 60.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't we look damn good? And that's the thing about it is you came in there. And first of all, there was that voice. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Because we know that everyone today who is in some form of broadcasting stage of their career doesn't have a voice, but you have that unique voice.
Natural.
Right. Yeah. But it's also the fact that you really brought the chops in terms of the learning and the understanding and the discipline. But it was the human side of how you approached what you did that appealed to me most. And I think that's the reason after 28 years, people are going to really miss the fact that you're here. And I wanted to give you that first of all, because when you get to a point where you decide that your work is done,
right,
and you pick up and you decide that the rest of your life is going to be an ongoing work, I want to know, as you've looked back over the time you've spent here in St. Louis and in your career, how did you get there without feeling like there was something that you may have been leaving on the table professionally that you hadn't done yet?
That is such a great question.
Well, thank you. I tried.
Such a great question. How do I get there without thinking I'm leaving something on the table? I will answer that in maybe just two ways.
Sure.
Stop me if I ramble. One, as a news anchor and reporter, every day I remember leaving the newsroom with both either a satisfaction or a fear that I had missed something or that I had left something, if you will, on the table from the day's news. Did I miss something? As a life, I tried to do the things that I was supposed to do and that I was called to do. I was called to be a wife and a mother, and I was called to have impact beyond my career in people's lives and in the community. And so just trying to do that at every opportunity, you're not going to leave anything on the table. I will add, Charles, that when the riots after Michael Brown's death happened, I did not go into the chaos and cover it as a reporter. I was an anchor. Mm-hmm. And my former news director did not want me because reporters were being threatened.
Right.
And he was never specific with me as to why he did not want me to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt as the dust settled, and has the dust really settled? I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah. But I felt as the dust settled that I had missed something, that I wasn't a columnist at the time. I didn't have a talk show at the time. I was a reporter and I was a news anchor at the time. So I'm reporting just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant so much more and there were so many more questions. That's one of those events in my career that I feel I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as a result of not being able or not talking about it in a way, in an editorial way, really, and as in an activist way, and in a Black woman way, and in a mother of Black sons way, that spurred me to get more involved in the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists, the National Association of Black Journalists local chapter, because above all, I just wanted to help us to tell our stories and strengthen Black reporters in a way that would enable them to tell their stories and to deal with all that comes with being a reporter, period, and then a Black reporter secondarily. So that's one of the things that I, over my long career and my life, that I can say I felt an aching, I felt an inadequacy. And I felt that I missed it. And it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't in my control at the time. As I said, I didn't have a column. I wasn't a talk show host. But there was so much I wanted to say that I could not say or just did not say. And so everything else in my career, if you do a good job and if you are a professional and if you are a caring person and if you are a helpful person, and if your eyes are open and you're willing to ask questions and get answers for people, then you're not going to miss anything. So I try to have my eyes open as much as possible. But there is no way to say it, but to say that it was a challenge, always a challenge.
And in a sense, then it really did. Even though it's something that you can reflect on now in that way. But it seems that it actually was something that opened the door to what you became and how you became very focused upon making sure that you were not going to leave anything else on that table, right?
Right.
Because the thing that I've noticed over the course of time that you've been in your various, you know, roles at CAMOX and the various roles in the community is that you've done something that a lot of people seem incapable of doing, excuse me, which is to take that type of thinking that you just described, mm-hmm. but also make it clear to everyone else that being focused on doing that work is not to the exclusion of everything else.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. How do you navigate that? Because we just had a couple of big, major people who were moving on from their networks. Right. And it was more or less because of whatever positions they were taking. Let's just call a thing, right?
Right.
But you've not done that. And it's not that you've been any less vocal, any less passionate, any less concerned. It's just that you seem to have some understanding that perhaps other people bypass in their efforts to try to navigate that path.
Well, my husband would say, excuse me, my husband would say I am argumentative and I am outspoken. He would say that. Uh-huh. My sons would say that I have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has a lot to say.
You're right.
You're either afraid to say it. You don't know how to say it.
Right.
You don't want to say mm-hmm. it. But I am one of those that I have a lot to say. And mm-hmm. I think a lot. Mm-hmm. I think deeply about things. On the way here, I was in North County and I was mm-hmm. driving streets that I'd never mm-hmm. been on mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the map took me. Because that's what it does, GPS. Right.
Yes, it is.
Hey, let's go this way. And so I'm driving and I am always thinking, mm-hmm. how did this get here?
Right.
Why is this way? Mm-hmm. And who is in charge? And I'm just always thinking. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm not a firebrand. That's mm-hmm. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. opinionated for mm-hmm. the sake of opinion.
Ah.
I'm just not.
Right.
I'm just not. And I'm not a negative person. I've always tried to be a positive person. Mm-hmm. I will say, pause, caveat, that I'm a recovering people pleaser.
Oh, well.
And so people pleasers mm-hmm. may not say what needs to be said because it may offend, it mm-hmm. may harm, it may cause an argument, it may be confrontational.
Right.
People pleasers aren't necessarily confrontational.
That's right. That's right.
And I have confronted mm-hmm. issues and people, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say that I'm confrontational. Mm-hmm. I have been described as someone, you don't want to mess with her. And I don't think I have that image,
right?
But that's what a mm-hmm. fellow news anchor said of me, a man, mm-hmm. an older mm-hmm. man said of me.
Oh, well.
I feel like if I push you, Carol, mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. are going to go off, he said in so many words. And, mm-hmm. well, that may be true if you mm-hmm. push me.
Right.
But I'm not necessarily a confrontational person. Right. So that's how I think that's how I have navigated it. And I also come from the foundational principle or idea that I'm here for a reason and that I'm supposed to bring enlightenment, mm-hmm. if you will. And I don't mean that in some mysterious, you know, crystal kind of a way, but I want to shed light and I want to elevate the conversation.
Right,
so I think that's how I've navigated.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. And back to that point about, you know, pushing you too far. I mean, who would you not say that of? You
sure.
push anyone too far, they're going to give you something back usually. But I want to touch a little bit on that idea about perception, you know, because that's interesting in the business that you're in. Mm-hmm. You are in an industry where, at least during the time I was in school and studying journalism, and I would say that would be roughly the same time. You,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were taught about the hallmarks of journalism and what was important and truth being valued above all else. But now it's more or less this idea that people have opinion. And opinion in and of itself is enough. Not informed opinion.
Right.
But opinion. Mm-hmm. And as you've been interviewing hundreds, thousands of people over the years, how has that shifted in perspective from that time when people used to have information to share versus opinions to promulgate?
A sea change.
Mm.
An absolute sea change. I remember when I first started earnestly in talk radio, I remember there being a feeling that this was a moment when the internet really became a thing, that people listening could know more than you in real time.
Right.
They could Google something and then call you on your show and out you or confront you or say, I just read.
Right.
And I remember the feeling that, oh my goodness, I'm not totally, I don't know everything at all. I'm terrible at trivia. I don't know what flag represents. I don't know the smallest country and the highest. I don't know that.
Right.
I can't remember that.
Right.
But people want to be maybe the smartest in the room or the perception that they are the smartest in the room. And then I think the ability, social media has done this to us, but the ability to hide behind the keyboard warrior is such a fantastic description. The ability to do that has emboldened people. Politicians have also emboldened people. Economic upheaval has frightened people. A lot of different things have made people feel, as a woman said to me many years ago, we've given your people enough.
Okay, well, ba-bum boom.
We've given your people enough. What more do you want?
Your people enough. Wow.
And I wanted to know, who is we?
Right.
And what is enough?
Right.
And what was given?
Right.
That somehow you think she implied was hers, and now it's being taken away. And so the thought process, and now couple that with fear, couple that with fear-mongering, couple that with scapegoating, couple that with an uninformed electorate, couple that with an unengaged electorate. They're not even an electorate. They're just sidelines.
Yeah. Lots of sidelines.
Lots of sidelines.
Oh,
if this were a parade,
right,
it'd be the most well-attended parade ever, because
everybody
is on the sidelines
with
something to say. And so that makes this so very different from a reporter just trying to report the facts to managers worried about follows, likes, clicks, all of that. And that has made it, a friend of mine who left the newspaper she worked for, and I won't say which one, she called me and she said, I think that we are moving in the direction where we will be required to hit a certain number of likes on each story that we post.
Right.
So that is a manager telling a journalist, you've got to do whatever. The headline has to read a certain way. You've got to cover it in a certain way that it gets likes. That's nowhere in there is a conversation about facts, relevance, importance, impact, government.
Right.
None of that. None of that. It's just about likes. And that was coming from her manager in a newsroom. And so we're in trouble. We've been in trouble for a long time. I don't know if we've ever been out of trouble. In this country.
And the fact that people don't want to have the conversation without some indication that it's a question of who is more right or who is more wrong is something that really bothers me. Because when you look at this, you know, preponderance of people who come into the world who don't know what they don't know, yet still have this capacity to still influence what everybody else is going to be affected by, blows my mind. And I tend to gravitate to staying in this space emotionally. But lately, I've just been looking at things and I'm incensed, which is unusual for me, because I'm not a person who angers easily.
I can tell.
Right. And it's just kind of like, why are we in a position where we refuse to acknowledge? It's no happenstance that we all ended up on this planet together. We were put here to share it, whatever you want to believe. But there are always people who are trying to reverse what has happened in this
world.
Power
grab.
Right? Versus trying to help us progress in terms of what we can become. And I always tell people I'm, you know, God's perfectly imperfect child.
For sure.
Right? I know all of the lumps and the bumps and all of that. So I'm always open to learning. And I think that that's the thing that in your role as a journalist, because you're one of the, you know, last stalwarts who can actually be called a journalist. These things that are popping up today often, I know you can't say it, I'll say it. But they're not, because they don't take into account the very things you described. Is there a point where you look at this and you just are having your Fannie Lou Hamer moment and you're like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Wow. I am also having a Iyanla Van Sant moment.
Ah.
Let us call a thing a thing.
All right.
Can we call right. a thing a thing?
Right.
There are people, let me back up and say this.
Yeah.
That our last president, people were worried that he had such a grip, or still has such a grip on his fan base, mm-hmm. his followers, his voters, that it didn't matter, as he said, mm-hmm. I could stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone mm-hmm. and I would not lose any support.
Mm, right.
We must call a thing a thing.
Right.
That is alarming mm-hmm. that you think that.
Mm-hmm.
It is even more alarming that it may be true. And apparently it is true.
Yes.
Because we heard you mm-hmm. on the tape saying you grab women mm-hmm. by their private parts. Mm-hmm. And we heard that.
Right.
You said right. that. Mm-hmm. And you won.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, how do you talk to individuals who are caught up, who are still supporting mm-hmm. that lack of character.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that.
Yeah, right.
What do you say?
Mm.
And so what I was led to was how you talk to people who are in a cult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're in a cult, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but there's a parallel between you've left right behind mm-hmm. and you have blinders on now, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what anybody mm-hmm. says.
Mm-hmm.
So what I came to in just quick research, I didn't, yeah. you know, I didn't take a class,
mm-hmm.
and I'm no therapist,
mm-hmm.
but what I came to was to say to people, I love you. They are using you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
They are using you.
Mm-hmm.
And so to Americans, or let's just make it tiny,
right,
to St. Louisans,
okay.
to this region,
mm-hmm.
I would say I love you.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you love St. Louis, then right. you love the people of St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me you love St. Louis and you don't love the mm-hmm. people of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the region, not right. the city, right?
Right. Right?
And so to the region, I would say I love you.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're using you.
Right.
But you have to start from mm-hmm. that place. So those of us who feel alarmed,
mm-hmm.
we have to start from there. I care about you.
Right, right.
I care about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, and one reason I care about you is because I'm supposed to.
Right, right.
Because
that's
the job. Mm-hmm. That's really the only job.
Right.
You know, the word says, mm-hmm. how long did we get to before I was bringing
that's all right.
up the word?
Bring it on. Bring it on.
The word says that the greatest of these uh-huh. is love.
That's
and
right.
we are called, mm-hmm. he asked us to, told us, not mm-hmm. asked, but told us,
mm-hmm.
love one another.
Mm.
To love one another. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the
it.
Greatest. That's it. And
right.
so to those who would follow someone who says, I could shoot them,
mm.
I could shoot somebody and mm-hmm. and y'all won't turn away from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's smug.
Mm-hmm.
It's smug
mm-hmm.
and alarming. To them, I would say, I care about you.
Right.
I care about you too much
mm-hmm.
to let you go down this path
right.
behind someone
mm-hmm.
who is using you, who's mm-hmm. not being honest with you. What would we say to a friend who's in an
That's
abusive
right.
relationship? What
That's
would
right.
we say to a friend who's mm-hmm. you know, getting addicted?
Mm-hmm.
What would we say to a friend who's engaging in any behavior
right.
that we find harmful?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I care about you,
mm.
what I'm going to say to you
mm.
is going to be different than, You idiot. I can't believe you think that. What's wrong with you?
Right.
You wouldn't say any of those things if you first come from, I care about you.
That's right. All of the name calling and
all of that
other stuff just goes by the wayside when you begin with a place of love.
Exactly. Now, I will add, though, that please don't mistreat me and don't name call. And I have been the object of that, of those of some negative and mean-spirited and
it's inevitable
racist and sexist comments and unsigned letters and all of that in my career, and every most journalists probably if you strike a nerve, somebody's gonna, you know, say something mean or nasty to you, so you can't come at me that way. I am not the Dalai Lama, nor my Dr. King necessarily turning in the other cheek.
Well, you know, they came for the Dalai Lama recently too. So, hey,
well, that
you're
is,
good
yeah,
company.
That is true. That
you know,
is true.
And that is the thing about, you know, having a sense of self that is forged in faith that I think is so important about what I understand. Now, you and I have not like interacted on a regular basis, but spirit, no spirit. You know, that's what I actually believe. And when you've gone through all that you've gone through, when you've experienced everything that you've experienced, how do you keep it strong, that foundation of faith on which you stand? Because it's challenged every moment of every day. How do you do it?
Well,
go ahead, think about it.
I tell you, I close my eyes for two reasons. I was thinking of my husband, and I'm trying not to get him too emotional, but I will let that flow. My feelings have been hurt. I have questioned my own decision making, but I have been able to surround myself with people who I know are also forged in faith. Well, I love that. And I asked for certain things in a husband, and I was blessed with those things in a husband.
Yeah,
he does not suffer fools. He does not buy celebrity. He does not care about what you have or what you look like or your title. He doesn't care about any of those things. He is a very down-to-earth man, and he also is an accountability partner, if you will. So he will call, has called me out on anything I'm not doing professionally, or both professionally or personally. And so having a man like that, who I know, I said something to him one time, and he said to me, Carol, that's not the right way to look at that at all. I can't believe you said that. And I just shrank a little bit. And he questioned my thought process. But he also has defended me, and I, having been in a male-dominated environment, I know that I have a strong man in my corner, and he has showed up physically, and I was just gleeful.
That's awesome.
That I'm walking around, Charles, and I've said this to my sons. I'm walking around. I know I'm not in this by myself.
Right.
I never have been. Even when I felt, when I lived in Kansas City and I wound up getting evicted and fired and or fired then evicted and, you know, semi-homeless, I wasn't, even though I felt alone, I wasn't alone.
Right.
And certainly when I came to St. Louis and started anchoring at KMOX, I knew that I was not in it by myself.
Right.
And then I, well, how long now? 19 years. We've been members of the same church for, for almost 20 years now. And my pastor said to me, he's retired Air Force chaplain, New Life in Christ, interdenominational church in O'Fallon, Illinois, Bishop G. Vincent Dudley Sr.
Speak that name.
Who has, I think he has two PhDs. I don't know, he's a learned man, loves education, loves it. And he said to me when I really, really first met him, he didn't know anything about KMOX. And he said, I don't know anything about
okay.
what you do. He right. said to me, mm-hmm. you are Carol, you are Patrick.
There you go.
And so we had been in a church mm-hmm. where every Sunday the pastor would have me stand. Mm. Carol from KMOX is here. Yeah. And he would mm-hmm. not acknowledge, and her husband, he would say.
Oh.
And I
did not.
Oh, I just, Patrick, and again, back to who my husband is.
Right.
He said, I don't care about that.
Yeah, of course, he doesn't care.
I do not care.
But the fact that he did it.
The fact that he did that right. over and over again, I cared. Mm-hmm. So then when we joined our current church for almost 20 years, as I said, the fact that he was like, I don't know what you do. I don't know.
Right.
You know, all I know mm-hmm. is what I'm, as your pastor, right. the God in you, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to mm-hmm. deliver you. So that meant everything to me. And mm-hmm. a lot of people in the church do know, mm-hmm. but a lot of people are military mm-hmm. and they don't know.
Right, right.
And so mm-hmm. they just, how are you?
Right, right. You're you know? A human being.
And
good
that,
morning.
And that has helped. That right. has helped. To stay grounded. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is mm-hmm. about for me, to stay grounded. You meet a lot of important people. Mm. I'm important. Mm-hmm. You're important. Mm-hmm. The most important thing in my life is motherhood mm-hmm. and that as a wife. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a daughter and,
right.
you know, caregiver mm-hmm. and sister and friend. And
right.
those things mm-hmm. have always been far more important mm-hmm. than what I do, because I've been fired. I've mm-hmm. been mm-hmm. on
You've
the outs. I've been mm-hmm. through it. And mm-hmm. I know that people can be fickle. They like right. you today. Mm-hmm. They don't like you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They love that story. They hate that one. When people would call or send letters, or you see them out in public and they would say, I love you. I love you. And I said, I will remember that
right.
for the next time when someone says, I hate you.
Yeah.
Get off the air, yeah. you lousy right. mm-hmm. fill in the blank yeah. B word, you yeah. know.
Right.
So it's always been a balance yeah. for sure.
And speaking of those sons, you know, you know, I see you on Facebook and all of the things that they've achieved, all the things that they've been able to, you know, ascend to in terms of their own interest and desires now. And obviously I see Mr. Husband, Patrick, right?
Patrick, yes.
Okay. And I hope you take this as a compliment, because that's how it's intended. You two kind of remind me of Tabitha and Chance Brown.
Oh, I love Tabitha and
Chance.
Well, I
met her when I was living in LA.
Did you?
And she's actually...
Is she like that?
Totally.
Totally.
But
so glad
there's
to
the
hear
same
it.
Dynamic there. And you've got these young men that you've raised mm-hmm. to maturity. And they
well,
are...
Well, not... Yeah.
Well, to the extent that they know who they are.
Okay, we're right? still... Yeah.
Because... There's a lot of people who are older than I am who still don't know who they are.
That's true.
But your children know who they are. When you've been doing that, given the fact that it has been in a public venue,
right?
How has that been for them, and how have you guarded how they've been able to isolate themselves in the same way that you don't need to have that acknowledgement to know who you are, so that they wouldn't buy into that?
All of your questions are wonderful, yeah. and this is another good one, I will tell you. First of all, my husband and I prayed for them mm-hmm. to have children
right.
because we married at 31 mm-hmm. and in my 20s, late 20s, you know, I'm beginning to feel like, am I going to find anyone
okay.
and wondering, can I even have kids? Mm-hmm. I just was so terrified that maybe I wouldn't have children. Mm-hmm. I was getting older mm-hmm. and my sister, who's 7 years younger than me, got married before I did. And my husband said he knew, we were mm-hmm. dating at the time, he knew that that hurt me mm-hmm. and I felt a way about that. But mm-hmm. so I prayed for this husband and we prayed for these children. In between them, we had two miscarriages. Mm. And so after you have one and then two miscarriages, you don't know. I didn't know mm. that I would ever have another one. And we wanted more children. Mm-hmm. And so when our second came along, I did the same thing with him. That I asked God to show me who mm-hmm. they were. Mm. And I asked God to, and someone gave me a book of prayers mm-hmm. for mothers.
Okay.
And I didn't read all of them because mm-hmm. I didn't think they all applied
okay.
for what my desires were. But because I was raised and my parents did not see a journalist, they didn't see a talk show host,
right.
you know, they didn't, mm-hmm. my dad said, just don't get arrested. And we all had to.
Pretty basic.
Pretty basic.
Yeah.
We all had to work. And so we knew that we needed to be gainfully employed.
Right, right.
And we also knew, because my father's retired Army, mm-hmm. we also grew up knowing that the lives that we led as mm-hmm. teenagers, mm-hmm. If we got into trouble, it affected his career. He could lose stripes mm-hmm. if we got into trouble. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. also knew that we had a responsibility to behave in a way mm-hmm. That did not that positively reflected on who our father was. Mm-hmm. We knew that. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up just with that thinking. Mm-hmm. So my mother wasn't looking at me, you know, thinking, we never talked about
right.
career or anything, right? Mm-hmm. My three older brothers all are retired officers now from mm-hmm. the Army, mm-hmm. Air Force, and Marines. And I just knew I was going to college. Mm-hmm. I did not know. I was, you know, all five of us have gone to college. All five have degrees. They all have advanced degrees. I do not. And so I just knew college. Mm-hmm. I didn't know mm-hmm. career.
Right, right.
And so when I became a mom, I was determined mm-hmm. that I would know. And so I asked okay. God, show me their mm-hmm. gifts. Show me who they are. Mm. And we knew early on that the oldest was a computer nerd, genius, mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. I took a old computer home mm-hmm. from KMOX that they were giving away mm-hmm. and just took it home to him. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted to use the parts.
Wow.
And came home weeks later and he had taken it apart and put it back together again. And he's seven.
Wow.
Seven or eight. Our youngest.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And our youngest, was an entertainer. He wanted to go on stage with me everywhere.
Wow.
We, years ago, Enterprise and KMOX and several others used to have jazz festivals in Clayton. Mm-hmm. He went on stage with me. Mm. And I can't remember if he sang or if he told a joke or mm-hmm. something, but he like snatched the mic from me.
Oh my.
We went on a cruise once and he was probably six. Mm. And said, can I sing the national anthem? And I was like, totally fearless.
Wow.
And I said, sure, mm-hmm. acapella. Mm-hmm. Sang the national anthem at the captain's mm-hmm. reception, at, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And the people were just like, what is happening?
That is
and
amazing.
And just the applause. So we knew
right.
this is an actor. Mm-hmm. And then there was a moment when he called me at work one time and he said, can I saute some vegetables? And I, okay, it's not asking for donuts
right,
or whatever.
Right.
He wanted to saute some mm-hmm. vegetables. Mm-hmm. So we knew he was an actor. We didn't know the cooking part until mm-hmm. he was a teenager. So he is both an actor and a chef.
Wow.
And trying to make his way as a personal chef. Mm-hmm. And is, you know, done voiceovers and commercials mm-hmm. and, you know. So I asked God for that. Mm. I asked God to show me what their talents were, because my mother didn't know. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you know, your parents do, you know, of a certain generation,
right,
you know, did the best they could, and right. they did a phenomenal job
yeah.
with us.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to go a step further and mm-hmm. go higher and deeper, and
right
and so that it's a blessing to know, and mm-hmm. it's great for them to know mm-hmm, they mm-hmm. always knew
right
what they wanted to do in mm-hmm, life. They mm-hmm. always knew. And most people don't know, mm-hmm. like you said, older than us. Mm-hmm.
And they had the runway to do it.
And they had the, and I was paving.
Right, right.
I'm out there laying asphalt.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
baby,
you were.
Get your speed up.
Hey, you were.
Because you got to get enough speed in order to elevate.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
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 And they are truly, you know, when you use the term pride and joy, just even mentioning them now, everything that happens with your eyes
yeah.
and your smile, they are literally that.
Well, I hope you see some mischievousness too.
Yeah, yeah.
And humor.
Right.
Because the youngest has said to us, you know, I didn't want to go to college. I don't, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He said to me, college is a scam. Mm. And I said, I can't argue
right.
I don't know that it is a scam, mm-hmm. but I know that mm-hmm. there are other ways right. to get where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Let's line up 10 major chefs. Mm-hmm. How many of them have degrees?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They don't all have, you don't mm-hmm. need a degree. That's right. a talent. That's mm-hmm. a gift.
Yes, it is.
The ability to, because I watch him mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. I've watched him work. The mm-hmm. ability to know what flavors go and right. the creative mind. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. He made a flatbread. Leek and pear flatbread. And I said, have you ever made that before? Mm-hmm. And he said, no. And I said, well, what flatbread did you use? Mm-hmm. And he said, I made that from scratch.
Wow.
And I was like, well, who's making flatbread from
that's
scratch?
That's amazing. Yeah, he is.
He is. Yeah. So, and do you need a degree? Mm-mm. Apparently you may not need a degree. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to reorient and we still, it's very hard still.
Mm-hmm.
I still want him
right.
to get
right.
a degree. Mm-hmm. Because as a black man, mm-hmm. it's already hard enough.
Yeah, yeah. But that creativity.
Yeah, your gifts will make room for you.
Yeah, I mean, because you think about the idea that what he's able to come up with, you can't get that in the classroom.
No, that's true.
That's from him. And you know what I know for sure, Carol, is that sometimes even when they may be a gift, not everybody necessarily gravitates in the direction of their gifts either.
For sure.
Know? It took me 6 years to finish college because I went in pre-med. 3 years.
Did you?
Pre-med. I was a science nurse. Still am. But I was going to be a doctor. And that's what my mom was counting on, right? Because, you know, young black man who's smart, you're going to go out and you're going to become a doctor. Woo.
Wow.
3 years in, I was about to take the MCAT, the medical college admissions
right.
test.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I didn't want to do it.
Wow.
Didn't want to do it. And I remember coming home and telling my mom I didn't want to do it. And she was like, are you out of your blankety blank mind?
For sure. I would have said the same thing.
Yeah. So then I spent the next, you know, period of years trying on majors, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I was in college, but I was literally spending money just to figure that out. So I get your son's point, you know, because.
And whose money were you spending?
I was spending mine because I was taking out loans. We you know how it is, Carol. We was poor. We didn't have enough money to be officially poor.
Poor.
So I was taking on the debt. Then I tried on so many majors. And then I ended up taking journalism and communications courses.
Light boom.
And I told my mom later, I said that I was going to be studying this. And you have to understand, my mom was very, very spicy. Okay. So she said, how in the blank are you going to make a life off of that?
My mother said to me,
right?
Can you make any money doing
right?
that?
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out.
I said, not for a long time.
Yeah. So you were smarter than I was. Because I was like, I don't know. But I started, and that's what I've been doing my entire career. And I say that only because what I know is that when you have a child who is gifted, mm-hmm. and those gifts manifest themselves as they have in your son, he's going to figure it out. And I know what you want for him. I know what you believe is necessary.
What do I want for him?
Well, you want him to be happy, ultimately.
I have had to come to that.
Right, right.
Because initially, and especially, I haven't said this, but mm-hmm. my husband, his father, their mm-hmm. father, mm-hmm. is from the Virgin Islands.
Ah, that's right. I remember
right?
that. Yeah.
He was born in St. Lucia mm-hmm. and moved to St. Croix at the age of 9 and grew up in St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because he then has... One of his friends said, we have a third world mentality,
mm-hmm.
which I've never looked at him that way, mm-hmm. whatever that means to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have an immigrant mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the level of hard work, do what must be done, is different in immigrants
mm-hmm.
who come from, we say Poe,
right.
that's a different.
Yeah, totally.
It's a different poverty
totally.
In other countries,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have seen
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so having your father,
mm-hmm.
like he's already your father.
Mm-hmm, right.
He's already mm-hmm. a man's man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He'll put a foot in it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then he's an immigrant.
Right.
He's got a completely different
mm-hmm,
sense
mm-hmm.
of, you gonna do what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're gonna mm-hmm. drop it. You're gonna do what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
We both have come to. We just want you to be happy.
Right.
I just want you to be safe.
Right.
I do want you to be safe, and
right.
I have come to.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be happy because the other layer of this is we've seen We've had anxiety diagnosis for both of them. Depression for one, which depression can be situational,
absolutely
circumstantial, based on the situation you're in. And so we've seen that in both of them. So that that reorients your thinking when you are worried about your child's mental health stability. That reorients your thinking altogether. And so that's how you come to, I just need you to have joy. Whatever that looks like. I do need you to be able to pay your bills. Because I still get joy when a little screen says approved. Because I bounced a check or two, a three or four, a ten.
Can we talk about that?
Can we talk about
We've been there, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I still, at 61, I still have a sense of pride that I have, because I remember from whence I came.
Right. Exactly.
I know where I was. I know what I went through. And so now I'm stable.
Right.
Right? And I've got savings and retirement.
Exactly.
And all of that.
And you want them to have that too.
And I want them to have that. And so the society's expectations, which are sometimes unrealistic, and then mental health issues, and then ethnicity and racism,
all of it,
all being like a wolf at the door, all of that has brought me to I just need you safe, and and I just need you safe, and I just need you to have joy. And because I know too, I said to my son, and I will cry over this, but I said to him recently, God did not lie to me about you. He did not lie. What he showed me about you, he showed me.
Right.
And that's not a lie. I believe him.
Right.
I believe what he showed me about you. And so I'm just going to sit back and let
trust
it have its perfect work and trust and that's what I'm, that's where I am now. And that's very fresh. That's very, very fresh in our relationship, you know, as mother and son and husband and wife. And, you know, that's very new for us.
You know? And it's hard. You know, I'm not a parent, but I know hard when I hear it. I saw what my own mom went through, you know, to get us to the point of majority. And I love the fact that you have that freshness in it, because it's always important to understand what it means to actually not just have a child, but to love a child. Because there's a distinction.
There is.
And what I've seen from those parents who are like you, trying to make sure that they're paving that way for their child, is this constant concern that they not only have the happiness, but they have the means to be happy. And it's a hard thing to do, you know, and I...
You can get caught up. There's so much you get caught up
there's
in.
There's just... everything and stuff that's coming in, it's like a sniper from the side.
Oh my gosh.
All of it is like coming in, like, what is it today?
Where did that come from?
You speak about faith. I've got mine right here on the arm.
Oh my.
Okay. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yes.
Right? So I trust in that, because, you know, that whole thing about life not being a crystal stair. People look at you now and they see your success. They don't know what you've been through. You don't wear it on your face. See that? Because we look
I try to wear it on my face.
No, you don't wear that on your face, what you've been through. You know that thing. We don't look like
what we've been through. I don't look like what
I've been through. Because at the end of all of this, what we know is that you've been on a very faithful journey, unique and intentional for you. And without it, none of what you have seen manifest in your life would be possible.
For sure. For sure.
And now you're at this point. I remember when, because I don't know, I was at work, but for some reason, this is what I mean about there being no coincidences. Your retirement announcement, my phone was sitting on my desk, and it's usually turned down like this. But then when you started broadcasting,
I went live on Facebook.
My phone popped on. I was like, what's going on? So I said, okay. So I'm sitting in my office, people looking. Why is he sitting there looking at his
phone? Because it was a surprise announcement.
It was a surprise.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm tearing up.
Oh.
Well, the reason is, I said, you're important to not only me, but so many people, because of what you represent. First, as a human being. And as a human being, what you've done is just beyond stellar. And I listened to it, and you were speaking about the things you've been through, you know, a couple of things with cancer, you know, taking, you know, the caretaking stuff. You've got kids who are out of the house for the most part, you know. And you're thinking about your life in terms of what it can be and not just what it has been.
Right.
And a lot of people find moving into what would be considered uncomfortable territory the most frightening thing in the world.
Right.
But you're embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this faithfulness there that says, I don't know what's coming.
Right.
But I trust it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to kind of expand a little bit, Carol, on that. Because as I sat there and watched you, and I flashed back to the first time I heard your voice, and I've seen the things you've done, the people you've helped, you see people and you're like, I am so happy that they get to a point where they get to choose.
Yes.
Right? Because so many people don't think they have that choice.
Right.
But here you have made it and you're ready to fly. And I want to know how, when you got there, it felt, because not everyone's going to know that.
It feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity came rather quickly. I have been talking about,
mm-hmm.
and my husband and I have been talking about mm-hmm. retirement
mm-hmm.
because you need to
right.
have the conversation. You mm-hmm. need to prepare. And I'm not totally prepared, and I am mm-hmm. not completely sitting down
right.
at all,
right.
but I am retiring from right. KMOX.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad, but I will tell you, and you know this, having been friends from afar,
mm-hmm.
that years ago, my husband and I were in a couples ministry at mm-hmm. our church.
Mm-hmm.
And when we left that couples ministry after 10 years,
mm-hmm.
one of the leaders said, I don't know if I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sad. I don't know what I'm feeling. And she said, oh, that's grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never
right.
in my life,
mm-hmm.
this is a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is church,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And I'd never heard or thought or
right.
read
mm-hmm.
that you would feel grief
mm-hmm.
leaving
mm-hmm.
a volunteer
mm-hmm.
service mission thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just never
right.
knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then put me on a journey of awareness and understanding that, okay, if I felt the level of grief about
That's
this
right.
10-year volunteer thing at church, what am I going to feel when I leave KMOX?
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Another layer,
mm-hmm.
it has been difficult at times
right.
at KMOX.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to run screaming out the door
uh-huh.
at KMOX.
Uh-huh.
I've had fights and arguments, and like I said, I mean, anybody with any job, you've all had it,
right?
But mine's been public.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it has been public.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to leave at times.
Right.
And there was a moment during Ferguson that, and I've said this, talked about this publicly, that I would walk in the room and people would stop talking.
And I
didn't know what to
right.
feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I'm the only Black person in the mm-hmm. newsroom, and I didn't know what to feel about that. And
mm-hmm.
and I talked to my boss about it. And in the midst of that, I got my invitation to renegotiate my contract.
Mm.
And I got it. I came home.
Right.
I opened it up. I sat in the car, I walked in with the letter in my hand, crying, and I handed it to my husband, and he said to me, well, what did God say?
There you go. Right.
And I said, I just walked
mm-hmm.
in here.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a chance to talk
mm-hmm.
to God yet.
Mm-hmm.
I just came into you. That's exactly what I said to him. I haven't talked to God yet. How can you ask him what God said? That's the man I married in, right?
Right,
And so, but I bring that up to say that
mm-hmm.
over 28 years, there were times I wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get to the point where I am now actually going to walk away,
mm-hmm.
years before,
mm-hmm.
I had been asking God, prepare my
That's
heart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Help me when I do leave,
mm-hmm.
help me to be able to leave well.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to be able, there will be grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
grief is a natural part of
right.
life,
mm-hmm.
but help me to understand mm-hmm. and to walk, because you have to move through grief.
Right.
If you can't get stuck in
mm-hmm.
the anger or the sadness or the
right.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
the questions, you have to move through every stage of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been asking
mm-hmm.
For that.
Right.
And I think that's the only reason right now.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's like, you know, we have a mortgage, so what are you going to do? How are we going to, you know, mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, oh my God. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I said, honey,
mm-hmm.
there is not an ounce of doubt in me.
Right.
I have no doubt. Mm-hmm. I just have no doubt. Right. And I'm so excited to see how the atmosphere and the relationship circles shift, mm-hmm. and the new ones I'm going to be in. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited because mm-hmm. I'm intentional about what's right. about to happen. Mm-hmm. I've cultivated some relationships, mm. and I get to go deeper with
right.
some
right.
that I've had over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited mm-hmm. to see mm-hmm. how, what that's going to mean. Mm-hmm. And when I say intentional, I've said to a friend of mine, that I want to be clear that I am in life-saving mode.
There you go.
That's what this next chapter for me mm-hmm. is about. Mm-hmm. It's about life-saving. It's always mm-hmm. been that, because mm-hmm. information is mm-hmm. life-saving.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Truth and mm-hmm. facts are life-saving. They are. Mm-hmm. But this next chapter where I will focus on families and women mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. young people and right. whatever. Mm-hmm. It's people. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going to focus on people mm-hmm. Help people navigate issues and bring light to every situation. Mm-hmm. That is thrilling mm-hmm. to me that I get to do
right.
again mm-hmm. in a different way, in a mm-hmm. different venue. What I'm called to do.
Right. It's, you know, it's interesting. So many people hear that word retirement, they think of an ending, but it's really a
yes.
beginning.
It is a beginning.
It's a beginning. And my favorite gospel song, it's the one I listen to when I'm going through all the ish. It's He's Preparing Me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because what's the refrain? He's preparing me for whatever comes next in my life. Mm-hmm. And that is what you have done in a stalwart, mm-hmm. I would say even legendary career.
Oh, my.
Because you've done it despite what's been thrown up as roadblocks, as difficulties and challenges.
Right.
And you've done it faithfully. You've never given up believing that there's something more to it, something that you will have revealed, and accepting that understanding for what it can mean in terms of where it is you're supposed to go. It is this that I feel in commonality with you, because my entire career, I've picked up, I've moved, I've come back, or whatever.
You have.
Yeah, and every time,
and Carol, looked fabulous along the way.
Well, she said it, y'all. Back at you. This, by the way, is what the 60s look like. So if you think that this is bad, take a look. We're doing fabulous.
We're doing all right.
But the thing I've learned is that there are no coincidences. There's a lesson in everything. The challenge is being willing to learn the lesson, even when yeah. it's through the darkest hours of your life. You know, you mentioned 2014, and my sister happened to pass away that year during mm-hmm. those riots in Ferguson, because I couldn't get to her.
Mm.
And she had a pulmonary embolism, and by the time I got to her, she was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd moved back only a couple of years before, and I kept saying, you know, when I left your first time, God, I'm not planning to come back here. What's mm-hmm. why am I here? As I sat in her driveway on that day in November in 2014, it was very clear, sis,
why?
You were needing to be here right. to do this. And less than a year later, my older brother passed away.
My goodness.
So my two siblings, they're gone. And a lot of people that hear me tell that story, I'm like, oh, that's so sad. I said, it was purposeful.
Yeah.
It was necessary.
You got to be here.
And I got to be here. Mm-hmm. So that level of enthusiasm is what I see you taking forward into this life you're going to build. It's exciting, as you say, because you get to choose what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have all the answers.
I do not.
But you are interested in what the questions are in the first
yes.
place. And I think that's what defines a life like yours, is the fact that you not only receive the questions, but you're interested in what those answers are going to be. And you're even more interested in how you're going to navigate it, because this mm-hmm. is what allows you to be creative and thorough in who you are. And I just want to say, on behalf of every St. Louisan who's been here the entire 28 years, and those who have not been, but have come back or have listened to you by satellite, what you've done here is made a difference in lives, real lives of real people. And I'm here now, you know, I'm going to be so interested in what you are doing next. It kind of reminds me of the old Quincy Jones quote to Oprah when he told her that she was going to be in The Color Purple.
Uh-huh.
He says, your future's so bright, it burns my eyes.
Wow.
So I'm going to be blind, but I am so thankful for everything you have done, you continue to do, but more than anything else, just being a wonderful human being, Because they're few and far between, if nobody told you. They're hard to come by. And I want to thank you for being a guest here on Poolproof Wisdom, my first video guest, by the way. And it's been awesome. And I look forward to staying in touch. And anything I can help you with, just ask.
I will.
Just
definitely
ask.
Will ask, because I need your help.
Well, I'm here. I ain't got nothing else to do.
I got a lot to do.
No, I mean, it's just working and everything, but I'm kind of at that point in my life too, Carol, where quite honestly, you know, I'm looking at what comes next. I was thinking of retiring before I came back here for the job I took. So who knows? We might both be retired and doing big special things that are making people's lives better. I certainly hope for it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation. I knew it would be.
I
knew it would be.
I like it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Poolproof Wisdom Podcast. We always enjoy the company. Be sure to listen, like, subscribe, and share using Google and Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, YouTube, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, we'd appreciate it very much if you simply tell a friend about the podcast too. Spread the word. Until next time, keep on living.